Do you like cleaning up other people's messes? I'm guessing probably not. Most of us were taught, you make the mess, you clean it up, right? And we kind of expect that from other people then. In fact, I saw this image. I saw that. And I thought, whoever trained that dog, I want to take my dog to them. A dog that can clean up its own mess. That's impressive. That's what I want. Listen, this world has no shortage of messes. And the biblical understanding is that's because ultimately of sin. Since the fall of humankind in the Garden of Eden, sin has entered the world and made a royal mess of things. And we can complain and we can blame, but you know what? We contribute to the mess with our sin. But there's someone who was very, very willing to come into this mess and clean up the mess that wasn't his own. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus. Remember the theme of this month's messages is this is Jesus. He's more than you dreamed. And this theme has led us to some passages that aren't normally the first ones you think of when you think of the Christmas season. The beginning of the Gospels, especially Matthew and Luke, tell the story of the birth of Jesus, but other places in Scripture fill in what it means that he came. And this is one of them. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. Amazing truths about Christ's resurrection and our resurrection. So in a way, we're putting Christmas and Easter together for those who only show up at those times. How's that? But in that chapter, points are made about Adam, the first human being, and some of what came to us through him. And then the scripture refers to Jesus as the last Adam. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. This Christ child, whose birth we celebrate in a week, is someone who completely turned around what we inherited from Adam and in the Garden of Eden. Your life, my life, the whole human race. It began in the Garden of Eden. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and that's all fine, but we also inherited a mess from them. When they sinned and they disobeyed God, that just messed everything up. And so human beings from that point forward were born with sinful natures, a persistent natural inclination to doing wrong. Thanks, Adam and Eve. And we'll talk about this more in a moment, but when that happened, a curse came over our world. The world is cursed. So those things that break, cars that break down, things that don't go right, relationships that fail, do you ever get tired of that stuff? Well, it's Adam's fault. He and Eve opened the door to it all. And if you take it to the next level, the sinful natures that we're all born with and the curse that is on this world and over the centuries, those combine and compound so that we have huge strongholds of evil in this world. You get oppressive nations that cause suffering for millions of innocent people. You get things like human trafficking, evil networks that go around the globe that perpetuate a level of evil that we can't comprehend. You get the kind of world problems that are so big that though we search for solutions, the brightest minds and the most powerful people in the world are searching for solutions, problems are just too overwhelming. Well, that's all what the first Adam brought. But today I'm here to tell you about Jesus, who is called the last Adam, and how his coming changes everything and that the first Adam messed up. So, based on the text, three things we're going to look at today that Jesus, the last Adam, changes for us. monumental shifts that took place in our world when this last Adam was born into our world that first Christmas. So, in your outlines, first of all, he reverses the curses. Okay? If you like rhyming, that one works. He reverses the curses. Back in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve listened to the serpent's lies, and they disobeyed God's clear command. God tells them what the consequences were. There were curses that came on all of us because of that. It wasn't that God wanted it to be that way necessarily. God doesn't relish the thought of people living under a curse, but it's just the way things work. You know, there are laws like gravity. You know, it's just, that's how it is. You know, you don't support something, it's gonna fall. And there are spiritual laws at work. And when you disobey God's truth, curses come. God says to the serpent, you're cursed. You're going to slither around on your belly the rest of your life. But then he speaks to the serpent who was in, to Satan who was in that serpent, and says, there's going to be enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. Bottom line there is, there's going to be spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare, as long as the human race continues, because Satan hates people, and God loves people. Then God says to Eve, being a woman is not going to be easy. Childbirth is going to really hurt. To Adam, he says, you know what? Work is going to be hard. You're going to work with difficulty your whole life and then die. I know I'm just really spreading Christmas cheer right now, aren't I? Bear with me, the good stuff's coming, okay? But I want it to be clear. The curse that Adam brought on this world, it's everywhere. So moms, when you're driving your baby somewhere and she projectile vomits all over the car, that's Adam's fault. You can blame him for that. When you're feeling great about fixing something on your car, and as you're tightening the last bolt, it snaps off, and you have to undo the whole thing. That's Adam's fault, and I blame him for that. When you try to be a really good person and do what's right, and somehow it all gets twisted around and becomes an unbelievable mess that you wonder, how did this happen? That's Adam's fault. And ultimately, our bodies deteriorate and our health fails us and we die. And that's Adam's fault, too. It's all part of the curse of sin over this whole world that our first ancestors allowed. We get to deal with the fallout from that. And I don't know about you, but I don't really like paying for someone else's mistake. You know? You with me on that? I really don't like it when someone else does wrong and it costs me. That God-given sense of justice rises up in me, and added to my selfishness, I want to shout, that is not fair. It's not fair that I have to deal with the curses of this world because of what Adam and Eve did. It's not fair that a bad decision so long ago still affects me today. But then I remember, I don't really ultimately want fair. I want grace. I need grace. And grace isn't fair. It's better than fair. You see, not only do we suffer because of the first Adam's sin, but we also get to benefit from the last Adam's love. And that's a very good thing. You see, that baby born in Bethlehem came to reverse the curse. The text, again, verses 21 and 22. Since death came through a man, that first Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, the last Adam. For as in the first Adam, all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You see, death is the ultimate and the worst part of the curse, but Jesus reversed that to give us life. See how Paul speaks of it in Galatians chapter 3. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. You see, apart from what that first Adam did, we do enough wrong ourselves to perpetuate the curse on this world and to earn death and eternity apart from God. We do that ourselves. We don't have to just blame Adam for that. But this Christ child, the last Adam, did the complete opposite of the first Adam. Instead of doing wrong and spreading the curse like a disease, the last Adam did right. Unbelievably did right. And he, at the cross, absorbed the curse into himself to free us from it and its consequences. I think that's pretty amazing, don't you? The second thing that this last Adam does is he brings life at a different level. He brings life at a completely different level. What do I mean by that? Well, first, another verse from the text here, verse 45 says, "So it is written, the first man, the first Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit." And it goes on to say how, you know, the natural life came first, but then the spiritual life, and the first man from the dust of the earth, but the second from heaven. So if Ancestry.com could have its way, we would all be able to trace our lives and our families back to Adam and Eve. Wouldn't that be impressive? But Adam was made from dirt, and ever since, human life has passed on the natural way right on down to you and me today. But this last Adam, he took things to a completely different level. He wasn't just a living being, but he was a life-giving spirit. He didn't just pass on physical life. He gives us spiritual life. The Bible is clear. You know, most people without a relationship with Jesus, they may be very much alive physically, as much as anybody else, but spiritually, the Bible says they're dead. There's no spiritual life there without Christ. Faith in this last Adam causes a person to be born again, right? To come alive spiritually. That deepest part of who we are, our spirit, it's so deep, most people don't even know it's there. But our spirit, because of who entered the world at Christmas, when we receive him and believe in him, our spirit comes to life. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, is even now seated with Christ in the heavenlies. How's that for mystery? That sounds crazy to some people, but that's what the Bible says. And that's why Christians who are suffering, who are persecuted, who, if you remember, just for example, a few years ago, people who were lined up in those orange jumpsuits on the coast of North Africa, right, and told they could either give up their faith in Jesus or be beheaded. And they could say with serenity and peace, do what you want, I'm sticking with Jesus. They could say that because they had life at a different level because of this last Adam. Their captors thought the threat of taking their physical lives was the worst they could do, the ultimate thing, because that's the only level of life they understand, the earthly life that the first Adam gave us. But that life given us by the last Adam, if you have that, that's why you, brothers and sisters, right now, can face the worst of whatever you're facing. Frustrations, injustices, losses, and even watching ultimately the life that we inherited from the first Adam, first threatened with health problems and then eventually slipping away from us as is inevitable. We can face all of that with hope, people, and with peace and even joy, because that life from the first Adam is not the whole story. It's not even the best part of the story. Now, we have taken a hold of the life that is truly life, in the words of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The life that is truly life. That life, eternal life, comes to us because of this last Adam, the life-giving spirit. How's that for a Christmas present? If you've never received it, folks, that offer stands to every human being on the planet. But it must be received. Have you received that gift? By faith. Today, please don't leave this place without just making that simple decision and knowing this life on a different level because of what the last Adam offers you, eternal life. The third thing that he offers us, or in a third point in your outline, is that he gives us his likeness. He gives us his likeness. As amazing as this last Adam is and all that he accomplished, here's the thing that just really blows me away. Verse 49, "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." We have borne the likeness of the earthly man. You see, when God formed the first Adam from the dust of the earth, presumably he took a pile of dirt, started forming, you know, two arms, two legs, and so forth. And though every person since then has their own unique features, we all generally bear this likeness. We know what a human being looks like. At least once I've showered and had my coffee, then I appear human. Before that, I may not be recognizable as human. But as we talked a little bit last week about Jesus as Son of Man, our big brother, we share his DNA. Let's go further with that. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "As we've borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." Wow. So this last Adam, the Son of God, gives us not just his physical likeness shared by all humanity, he gives us a spiritual likeness to himself. This is what our life is about as Christians, right? I mean, to look like Jesus. Not having anything to do with physical features, but to look like Jesus spiritually, if that makes sense. For people to be able to look at our lives and say, you know what, you bear a resemblance to that Jesus guy. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Do you see what that says? It says, this is exactly what God is doing, transforming us, making us more and more like Jesus, his likeness, progressively, day by day, ever-increasing, and it is a glorious thing. Have you ever seen somebody, you just first met them, and right away, something in you just knew he or she was a believer? Though you had no hard evidence, they weren't waving a Bible around, but you saw something in your spirit you can't describe, but that's what I'm talking about. I've had it happen to me on more than one occasion. At a gas station, somebody came up to me and said, "You know what? You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I thought, I don't have a fish symbol on my trunk lid on purpose so that I can drive how I want. just kidding, sort of. But the guy said, I don't know, I could just tell. I was like, Listen, I know that I often do not reflect the Lord's glory very well. Sometimes we might all feel like we're not making great progress in becoming more like Jesus, but the scripture says he's doing it, even when we're not aware of it. Kind of like Karate Kid, right? He's learning karate when he didn't even know it. Wax on, wax off, right? But we can pray and seek to work with the Spirit of God toward this end, that the likeness of Jesus is seen in us. Because the day is coming when this verse will be fulfilled. In 1 John, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is." We bear the likeness of the first Adam, and we are growing each day more and more to bear the likeness of the last Adam. And one day, we'll see him face to face, and he will look very familiar. We will see a strong family resemblance. So we'll be like him. That's a miracle. You know, I like learning about history. I didn't always like history. In school, it wasn't my favorite subject, but maybe now that I'm getting to the age where my kids view all my remembrances as ancient history, maybe that's why. But there's so many dots to connect between what was going on in this part of the world at this time and then how it relates to what was going on in that part of the world at the same time and how that all led to later developments. I find it fascinating. People, please connect these dots in history. God formed Adam, the first man, and from him we inherit so many things, many of them not good at all. And then fast forward to see the baby in the manger. and know that of the many things that he is, he's known as the last Adam. And what he brings us, what we inherit from him, is all good. And it even reverses the negative things that we inherited from the first Adam. He reverses the curses. He brings us life at a whole different level. And he gives us his likeness. Let me leave you with a glimpse of where this is all going ultimately. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of all of Scripture. In that day when all is made new, the last chapter of Scripture speaks of a river of life, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and it says, no longer will there be any curse. That should mean a lot to us, because everything that frustrates you, everything that hurts right now, because of that curse. And it's being reversed because of Jesus. And one day that process will be complete, and no longer will there be any curse. The curse that's been in our world since Eden, the curse that still makes our lives difficult today, it'll be gone. I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard to imagine. But imagine it. Because if you know Jesus, it's coming, and it'll be glorious. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Do you have a relationship with Jesus, the last Adam? It's simple, just faith, believe in him, but it's a decision to make, and it may not be easy, and it does cost everything, but that's okay because he gives us everything. Today, let's receive and celebrate all that Christ came to bring us, and let's seek to let him do his work of renewing and reviving and restoring even now. And let's rejoice in Jesus our King. Would you bow your heads with me?